We've been talking about applying sound doctrine to life and how that is really the watershed issue of biblical Christianity. That's the thing everybody who's just playing wants to do away with. That step where you apply it to life. False teachers, those who profess a faith that they do not have, those who pretend a piety that is just a veneer, they all want to say that it doesn't matter what you do as long as you feel something deeply. As long as you believe something in your heart, then it's private and it doesn't matter what you do. And the Greek word for that is malarkey. The Bible, well, it's not actually a Greek word, Annie. Bible says that if you don't get down to living it out, you don't have it. If it doesn't radically affect your life, then your faith isn't even real, let alone something that's going to get you into heaven. So how to apply the Bible to your life is an important question. How to live out the things that you say you believe really matters. And then if you can do that, then you can help others. You can teach them. Well, we've been considering that subject and those questions from Titus chapter 2. And the material has been very specific, because when you get down to how you're going to live out your faith, you have to be specific. And so we've dealt with older men and what we're to be: temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and in perseverance. And we've dealt with older women and what they are to be in order to help younger women live godly lives: reverent in behavior, holy and fully worthy of respect, not malicious gossips, not enslaved to intoxicating drink, but teaching what is good. And as older women teach the things that are good, they're specifically instructed to help the younger women know how to be sensible and pure, to be workers at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their own husbands. And all of this is for the purpose of consistently living out a testimony that gives glory to God in a practical way as you live your life, so that the Word of God, this passage says, is not blasphemed. So that you live it in such a way that you don't blaspheme the Word of God with your life that is inconsistent with it, and you don't open the door for lost people to blaspheme by saying, well, the Christians don't even do that. The Bible must not work. So we've dealt with older men, and we've dealt with older and younger women. And that just leaves the young men to be in the hot seat today. Get ready, guys. It's your turn. The Bible doesn't leave out. The Bible doesn't leave out the young men. It applies doctrine specifically to you in this stage of your life. So, young men, today's your day. Look with me again at Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Scripture says, "But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that they will adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect." Well, young men, there is in this text a reminder that doctrine also has to be applied specifically to your lives, to your situation. Just as surely as to everyone else's, it applies to you. In the same way that the rest of us have to consider how to live out the commands of Scripture, you must do the same. That means there can be no putting it off until later. That means that there's no justification for saying as a young man, I'll deal with that later, after I've had my fun, when I settle down. Or thinking to yourself that that is something for other people to do. It's really not to me. It's something, I mean, I could give you a few people that need this, but see, there's no justification for that. If you think to yourself that understanding biblical doctrine or applying it is something for those other people, then you've already decided not to obey what the Scripture says. The first word in verse 6, the verse about the young men, the first word is likewise. It means in the same way. Titus is commanded not to leave the young men out. Each and every person is responsible to understand God's truth and to live it. Well, young men often look for a way out of this deal, put it off until later, let someone else do it for me, dad will take care of it, the pastor will take care of it, somebody else will take care of it, but the Bible says you must take care of it. So in the same way that it applies to everyone else's life, it applies to your life right now, right where you are. You must bring yourself under its standard. You must find a way to practically live out what the Bible teaches in your present situation in life. And you're accountable to God for how you respond to this command. The last part of Ecclesiastes 7 and the first verse of chapter Ecclesiastes 11 and the first verse of chapter 12 say this: Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood, and follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. So remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. So now is the time, young men, to remember that you have a Creator and that you're going to give an account to Him. Now the admonition in Titus 2:6 that is addressed to you young men is surprisingly brief. And because it's brief, you may mistakenly think that it's going to be easy. Verse 6 says, likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. Each and every one of us faces particular temptations. That's why they're temptations. They mash our buttons. If you don't care about that, then it's hard for you to be tempted by it. But you face your own temptations, and you must fight them specifically. Older men tend to grow hot-headed and impatient with others as they age. They may let up in their pursuit of faith. Their love may grow cold over the years. They may try to coast across the finish line. And so older men in this passage are admonished to fight against those things that tempt so many older men. They're told to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, sound in love, sound in perseverance. No growing cold in love. No coasting across the finish line. Women may be more tempted to gossip or to usurp authority within the family. or to neglect the home by pursuing other interests. And so women in this text are urged to be workers at home, to be subject to their own husbands, not to be malicious gossips. Young men, you're just told to be sensible. And that's all. It's the only thing on your list in this text. And it's the same word that's applied to us old guys in verse 2 and to the older and younger ladies in verse 5. Same word. Here it stands out, though, because it's the only word. Be sensible. Now, the specific word means having common sense, being self-controlled, having good judgment, being in your right mind. These are spiritual issues. Being in your right mind is a spiritual issue. It's not a medical issue, except maybe in the rarest of cases. It's a spiritual issue. Being able to think clearly and to be reasonable is a spiritual issue. And I talked a few weeks ago about how this same word is used to describe the guy who had the legion of demons. You know the story. Jesus shows up on the shore. There's the guy from the tombs that nobody could even chain down anymore. Totally out of control. Screaming and cutting himself and behaving horribly. He was out of his mind. Jesus cast the legion of demons out of him and allowed them to go into the pigs, and the pigs rushed down the shore and were drowned in the sea, and the crowd came to investigate because the herdsman went and told everybody. And by the time the crowd got there, the guy who had been running naked in the tombs, cutting himself and screaming, it says, was seated at Jesus' feet, was clothed, and was in his right mind. Same word, sensible. To be in your right mind. And it's a spiritual issue. And this is one thing that young men need to focus a great deal of attention on while you're young. So much else follows if you'll be sensible. So much else is taken care of if you can get a handle on this one. It may sound far easier than it is. And many people believe they have it well in hand when other folks looking on know they are not sensible. See, there are a lot of spiritual issues that would keep you from achieving this because it is a spiritual issue. To be reasonable, to be the kind of person who can be reasoned with. And there are things that particularly apply to young men. There are temptations that particularly apply to you that would keep you from being sensible. They're different from what the old guys are facing. Different from some of the things that particularly tempt the ladies. Satan knows how to mash your buttons to keep you from being sensible. And since sensibility is a spiritual issue, sin is the thing that keeps you from being sensible. And there are certain sins that over the ages have tended to plague young men. First and foremost of those is pride. If you think that you have everything you need spiritually and that you always have, then the Bible proclaims again and again that you're not being sensible. No one can rightly make the claim to have all he needs spiritually and to have always had it. If you continually lift yourself up in pride or pull others down in order to feel better about yourself, if you compare yourself to the worst of men in order to try to exalt your Christianity, if you say to yourself that surely your faith is good enough for God because you're better than that guy in the gutter who's still drunk from last night, you're not being sensible. And it's a spiritual issue. That sinful pride, if you find yourself in that condition, has blinded you beyond all reason And the only hope is a radical change brought about in you by God Himself that'll be demonstrated in your life in personal repentance. But this kind of pride is common among young men. Even as a Christian who has been transformed by God's grace and who has demonstrated humility to God in real repentance, even in that condition, you may fall back into pridefulness, begin to tear others down to try to make yourself feel better rather than deal with your sin. You may go beyond all reason even after your transformation if you won't keep yourself clean from sin in repentance. And there are other dangers that would keep you from being sensible. Young men, you may find that you're tempted to pursue blind ambition and greed and wallow in it. Many young men want desperately to make their mark on the world, to have great success, and they pursue riches and status and power, and in their young years they set patterns that will keep them from ever being sensible old men who are temperate, and dignified and sound in faith and love and perseverance. Proverbs 15:16 says, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it." Proverbs 28:20 says, "A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who makes haste to be rich will not go unpunished." Well, the Bible contains a lot of those kind of warnings against wrongly pursuing wealth, allowing greed to creep into your heart, thinking too much of the world's approval and human success. And anyone who ignores those warnings is not being sensible. Sometimes it's the other extreme that young men fall into. You want everything to be easy. You expect that everything will come quickly and easily and without much effort on your part. You expect that what you do should never become tedious or difficult, and if it does, you drop it and move on to something else. Such young men bounce from interest to interest, quickly give up and move on to something new if there's any difficulty, have no staying power, no appetite for endurance. Pursue everything half-heartedly, and then quickly move on to the next variety of fool's gold that looks good for now. Well, again, the Bible offers warnings, particularly to young men, which is sort of the focus of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 18:9 says, "He who is slack in his work is brother to him who destroys." So a half-hearted, short-term commitment, grudgingly given, is akin to the guy who set out to tear the thing down to start with. Proverbs 21:19 says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty." Being sensible means resisting the impulse to exalt yourself in pride. It means resisting the impulse to greedy pursuits and blind ambition. And it means resisting the impulse to lazy, half-hearted commitments. For many young men, the dangers fall in the area of lust. The natural and good desires that God has given are twisted and changed into something to be used just for short-term pleasure in a way that God never designed, in fact, in open rebellion against Him. And many have ruined their lives by following those impulses. Again, the Bible offers stern warnings that are not to be ignored if you want to be sensible and in your right mind and live well. Here's the problem that particularly faces young men. Many young men don't really want to sin, they just want to dabble in it. They say, "Show me the line so I can dance on it, but not go over." I've had a lot of young men ask me, "When does it become sin?" And what's usually behind the question is the attitude, wherever it's sin, I want to go all the way there so I don't miss anything and stop right at the line. Get me within a thousandth of an inch of sin so I can enjoy everything that's not sin. How far can I go . You know, the Bible offers a different approach to sin. It says, flee temptation. It doesn't say, find the line so you can stay as close as possible to the line and lean over but not step across. It says, run the other way. If you've got your Bible there, young men, look at Proverbs 6, beginning with verse 23. Proverbs 6, 23 through 33. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is a light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, nor let her capture you with her eyelids. For on account of a harlot, one is reduced to a loaf of bread, and an adulteress hunts for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Or can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is the one who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her will not go unpunished. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is hungry. But when he is found, he must repay sevenfold. He must give all of his substance of his house. The one who commits adultery with a woman is lacking sense. He who would destroy himself does it. Wounds and disgrace he will find, and his reproach will not be blotted out. Now verse 32 again says, such a man is lacking sense. Or lacking understanding. It's the same idea. This isn't sensible. You got to get a handle on it. You can't be sensible unless you'll flee temptation. Don't try to dance on the line. So there are a lot of dangers that face young men. Pride, greed, laziness, lust. Any and all of these will keep you from being sensible. Sometimes the danger is just overindulgence, just a general attitude of I should have whatever I want, when I want, and I'm going to pleasure myself with everything that I want. Maybe your hobby becomes your idol. Your pursuit of your appetites becomes the thing that you live for, and all of your money and all of your time and all of your energy go to pursue the next short-term pleasure, short-term satisfaction. Proverbs 21:17 warns about that kind of life. It says, he who loves pleasure will become a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not become rich. That means if you chase after short-term pleasure, you're not even going to acquire much of the perishable stuff of this world, let alone the more important spiritual things of life. There are a lot of ways to lack sense, and many young men demonstrate them. There are many dangers and many warnings in Scripture, a lot of them directed specifically at young men, because there are unique things that you face. Doesn't mean you don't face common things as well, but these are some of the big ones. The common denominator in these things is impulse. Whether it's pride or greed or lust or laziness or just self-indulgence, the common denominator is impulse. And young men, this is the root that you need to attack if you're going to be sensible. If it's pride, the impulse is to exalt self, and you just go with it when you feel that way. If it's greed, the impulse is to have everything you see and to covet what you don't have and to begin to treat other people in whatever way you have to get what you want. And suddenly your money's not like their money. You're ready to do what you have to them in order to get what you want for yourself. If it's laziness or a lack of commitment, the impulse is just to satisfy your whims and not have to try. If it's lust, the impulse is just to pursue fleshly desires and refuse self-discipline. To say that God's guidelines can't satisfy and you have a better way, he's too restrictive. If it's personal indulgence, the impulse is just for that never-ending short-term satisfaction. And you're locked so much onto the here and now that you don't even consider eternity or even the important aspects of here and now. Well, obviously, there are a lot of dangers, and there are many more than these. But these are some particular warnings to young men that are found in the Scripture. If you go back to Titus 2:6, it simply says, "Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible." It may seem pretty simple and short, but it has a great deal wrapped up in it. Every impulse of your fallen heart would lead you to lack good sense. There's only one command here for you young men, because if you can conquer this one, the rest will be pretty easy. You'll be well on your way to being the kind of older men that verse 2 tells us to be, having common sense, being self-controlled, having good judgment, being in your right mind. These are spiritual issues. Being reasonable and being the kind of person that someone else can reason with. These are spiritual issues. You're able to keep your head. All of that's wrapped up in the meaning of that Greek word translated sensible. And if you're going to be that, it's going to take work. It doesn't just come automatically. You have to learn to resist your sinful impulses. You have to try to resist them. You have to determine to heed the warnings of Scripture. You even have to learn what the warnings are so you can heed them. This is a major issue in your spiritual life. Paul was telling Titus to urge the young men to do this. Don't leave them out. And by preserving this in Scripture, God is telling us to urge one another. For me to urge you to be sensible. The word translated urge means to strongly entreat, to exhort, to encourage and implore. It's not a lightweight word. There's urgency in it. Urge. It does not mean, oh, by the way, if you get bored, you ought to think about this. No, there's urgency. This is important. We implore you to deal with this. And this word, encourage, it also means to cheer up and to comfort. To urge and to comfort. To cheer up and to comfort and to urge and to exhort. Well, you can see the application for cheer up and comfort. Or you're much younger than you look. Many is the young man who has followed his impulses into a lack of good sense and felt the sting of it. Many have become steeped in pride. Many have become greedy and covetous, lazy and indifferent, or given in to lust, or chased after other personal indulgences. And some of you young men may be beating yourself up right now because of what you've already failed in. Maybe some of you older men and some of you ladies have just relived years of foolishness, just being reminded of the Bible standards. Well, if that's the case, there is in this text a great deal of encouragement for you. Because that's what this word means. Encourage, cheer up, comfort. The very word that God chose to put here contains all of that meaning. The fact that you're urged to a standard, by the way, means that you can achieve it from today forward by God's grace. And whatever failure might already be in your past can be put behind you through forgiveness. Whatever foolishness you may have pursued can be left behind. This text is here to encourage you to godliness, not to tell you that it's too late for you, that you've already missed it. It's here to cheer you up about the fact that you can live a godly, sensible, reasonable life in your right mind. This is a comfort if you've failed and a hope for the future. Being sensible is a spiritual issue. Foolishness is a result of sin. Good sense comes from walking with God in righteousness. You're not going to get it in opposition to Him. You're not going to get it if you're hanging on to sin in your heart, or if you don't want to give up something that's become an idol to you. Being sensible is the result, though, of righteousness. And you can have it in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can cheer up. You can be encouraged. So, young men, I urge you to be sensible. It's a worthy life goal. And it'll take work. But you can do it. It begins when you first repent of sin and experience the transforming work of the Holy Spirit in your life because of what the Lord Jesus did on that cross. And you can walk in it by continually submitting your life to the standards laid out in Scripture, by knowing them and living them. You can. Let's pray again, please.